Well, we're going to begin by doing our Bible verse together, so let's go ahead and begin. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Aren't you glad, church, that you're not judged because you believed in Jesus? And our sin has been forgiven. The wrath of God is no longer upon us. Here we go. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what that means is that we are judged when we are born, because we are born sinners. It means that we are separated from the Lord. But aren't you glad that Jesus allows us to be reunited with our God because of his sacrifice on Calvary? Amen. Father, bless our service today. Thank you for these wonderful people that have come. And we just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. The last time that we were together, we talked about Jesus speaking to not only his imminent disciples and apostles of the 12, but also what they would encounter after the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the church was birthed, and then following that up through that kind of that telescopic lens all the way through the tribulation period and into the millennium. And now Jesus focuses from what we should beware of, what is coming, to what does it mean, what is it like to be a disciple? And Jesus gives us in these verses, 24 through 42, six hallmarks of a disciple. We're going to get through one today, just one. Today, I'm going to be as clear and as simplistic as I know how. There is no way that you can leave today and not fully grasp the very first point that we want to talk about. We cannot engage really the other five until we begin at ground level with this very first hallmark or part or mark, however you'd like to describe it in your own mind, of being a disciple of Jesus. So with that, what I want to do is go through the verses and then come back and talk about this one that sets the stage for all of them. A disciple, a learner, a follower. Now, these are the words of Jesus. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. That's how Jesus begins. But he goes on. It is enough for the disciple, or disciple should be, that he become, read it with me, like his teacher. Can we say that together? Like his teacher. Let's say it again. Like his teacher. Do you think Jesus is trying to tell us something? Like his teacher. Who was the teacher of the disciples? That's right. Who was our teacher? It's a smart group. All right? All right. So, this is Jesus now. This isn't Pastor Jerry. All right, on to verse 26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will be known. Basically, in the end, everything is going to be displayed for those that are righteous and those that are non-righteous. Jesus said, what I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. We need to be light, salt. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. The people would have understood this because in the day of Jesus, a rabbi would take a student, and that student would follow him everywhere. And Over time, when the student was to speak, the rabbi would whisper in his ear, and then they would speak. And then the people would understand when there was an important message to be proclaimed, someone would stand on top of the housetop and they would proclaim the message. So we have to understand the cultural context to fully grasp what Jesus is teaching so we can apply it to our lives. Well, as we read on, do not fear those, beginning in verse 28, who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him, notice that capital what? H, who is able to destroy both soul and spirit in hell. Are not two sparrow birds, sold for a cent. A cent, by the way, was 1/16 of a denarius, so it wasn't very valuable. And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Here we see the value that God puts upon us, because he says the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, in doing some study this week, I found that the average person has about 140,000 strands of hair on their head. Some of you are not average, all right? You are not average. Some of you are way above average. So we see here that Jesus is telling us that we are important. Aren't you glad that God believes that we are important? I know I am. We're important to God. Praise the Lord for that. All right, so we see here then in verse 31. So do not fear. We don't have to fear because we're important to God. Because we are more valuable than birds. I'm glad that's the case. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. What is Jesus teaching? He's teaching us that if we receive his teaching, not just receive his teaching, and we begin to live that teaching out, it's going to cause conflict. And in one area it's going to cause conflict is family. With a crowd this size in the last two services and those that are watching by live stream, I'm sure many of you would be able to give testimony, my faith has created conflict in my family. You may no longer be invited to all of the family get-togethers. And if you are invited to get-togethers, you might admit that while you are there, it's a little bit tense. Because you don't believe like your family members, they don't believe like you, and sometimes it becomes very difficult to swim in those waters. So we can connect the dots here to what Jesus is saying. All right, verse 37 and 38. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now, in the time of Jesus, people would have identified a cross with two things: cruelty and death. Cruelty and death. We don't identify the cross with cruelty and death in our culture and in our Christian context. All right, let's move on. Verse 39 and 40. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Last verse for today. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, in these verses, we have six marks of a disciple. Here's our goal today, is to get through one of them. Jesus makes it very clear, and we've already repeated it numerous times, a disciple must become like his teacher. So Jesus says a disciple emulates his master, his teacher. What is a good definition for the word emulate? You feel free to Google it. What are some words that kind of, maybe some synonyms that kind of jump out at you? Copy. Very good. Copy. Act like. Very good. Duplicate. Very good. Okay. Mimic. Duplicate. I think we had that. That's okay. We can duplicate it again. It's okay. All right. It's hard to hear in here. That's why we have microphones, right? All right. So I think we understand. It's like as that person. In other words, what Jesus is saying to us, and this is very challenging, when you and I, whether we're believers, but let's just talk about non-believers as well. When we are at work or we are around people that are non-believers, it is as if Jesus is there. So when that person cuts you off at the intersection, when that person takes your parking spot at the grocery store, and when the line gets too long when you're ready to pay for groceries, or that waiter or waitress messes up your order, Jesus says, I want you to become like, in this instance, what he's saying is like me. So how do I learn, where do I get information to help me emulate my master? And who's my master? Jesus. So where would I find that information? Okay, the Bible. Good. All right, but if we went to the book of Leviticus, would that really help me learn about Jesus? What about if I went to the book, let's just pick another book, Revelation. How about the book of Micah? Some are sitting there. There's a book of Micah? Right? There is. Okay, so where would I have to go to find information to emulate my teacher? So I can be just like him, where people can't tell the difference between me and my teacher. Where would I go? The Gospels. Okay, what are the Gospels? What are they called? All right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels. The word gospel means good news. We find that's defined in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The death, burial, and resurrection. So the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the good news is about my master. Now, Here is some challenging statistics that cut to the heart of the problem or the challenge. According to Barna Research, George Barna does Christian research on churches, spirituality, whatever you want to find. He's got it all. I think it's barna.org. But if you go to barna.org, you can find research on Christians knowing the scripture. He says that 18% of people that claim to be born again believers, people that would attend Cross Point Church as a general rule. I know we may not all be believers, but we come to a church that believes that for someone to get to heaven, they must pray, ask for forgiveness, invite Christ into their life. We understand that. That's how Barna also would define a born-again believer. According to his statistics, 18% read the Bible every day. Now, last week, I had somebody hand me a bulletin. So if you'd hand me the bulletin right on the front row, there's a bulletin right there. Yep, that's it. Bring it right up here if you don't mind. Thank you very much. Okay, last week's bulletin. Attendance, 973 people came to Cross Point. All right, so let's throw out 173 because we'll call them kids. Nursery, elementary kids. Probably even threw out some teenagers out of that. So let's say there's 800 people. Thank you very much. I'll give that back to you. So let's just say 800 adults. If 18% read the Bible every day, who knows the math? What's 18% of 800? 144. All right, what's 800 minus 144? We'll round it off, 650. All right, that means that 650 people that came to Cross Point last week did not read their Bible one day. Now, the good news is for you, I don't know who that is. All right, so Jerry, kind of connect the dots, because I don't know what you're, I don't know where you're going. Here's where I'm going. We can't emulate somebody that we don't know anything about. I told you, this is as simple as I can get today. Jesus said the disciple should become like his teacher. So in order for us to know about the teacher, we have to go to the source where we can learn about the teacher. How did the teacher interact in this situation? How did the teacher show love in this circumstance? How did the teacher deal with that problem? What was the teacher's emotional state in his compassion toward this group of people? How did the teacher connect with the culture? How did the teacher engage with the culture? What did the teacher not get involved in the culture? There's only one place you can find that, and that's the Gospels. Because the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, exclusively talk about the life of the master teacher that we're supposed to emulate, that we're supposed to copy, that we're supposed to be like. So when we have somebody cut us off in the intersection, it's not. It's praise the Lord. You know what's interesting about Jesus? He never judged the lost, only those that thought they were righteous. Do you know that? Interesting, isn't it? So if we take the gospel, so let me ask you some more questions. If you, you know, get your phone out or your Bible out if you have one, or your iPad or computer or whatever you had. Now just your watch. How many chapters are in the book of Matthew? I'm not going to tell you. Somebody's going to have to look it up. 28. All right. Somebody who's good in math, you count these up. How many chapters, Matthew, now Mark? How many chapters are in Mark? Very good. So somebody get this, 28 plus, you taught math, right? How many years you teach math? Too many, yeah. He taught math in Brewer High School for 40 years, right? How many years? 38 years. Okay, so we got 28 chapters. We've got, okay, 16 chapters. How many chapters are in Luke? Are you absolutely sure? You're right, 24, just check it, 24. I'm sure, I just want to make sure you're sure, okay? All right, so we got. I told you I'm being simple, but you're going to get the point here in a minute. 28, 16, 24, how many in John? All right, between 20 and 22, what is it? 21, got it, okay, 21. If you add those up, 89 chapters. All right, let's just, for our discussion, let's round it off to 90. Can you do that math? You round up, right? Yeah, okay. So 90 chapters. We got it from the math expert right in the front row, retired math teacher. 90 chapters. I took my Bible, I opened it up to Matthew, and one page, just one page in Matthew, where there weren't any gaps, but just constant words and sentences, and I took my phone out, and I timed it. It took me 2 minutes to read one page in Matthew, 2 minutes. Keep that in mind, 2 minutes. Usually, but not always, but on the average, there's one chapter per page. I mean, some books, some chapters is longer, some are shorter, but just as a reference, that's pretty close. So let's just go along with that. 2 minutes per page. So if we take 90 chapters and we divide 30 days, which is 1 month, we should be able to read 3 chapters a day in 1 month, reading for about 6 minutes. You with me? Some of you are looking kind of blurry-eyed out there. I know math wasn't your favorite subject, so let's do it again. All right, 90 chapters in the Gospels, just the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If we read 3 chapters a day, okay, 1 chapter takes about 1 page, that's 2 minutes. So it's 2, 4, very good. Boy, what a sharp crowd this is, all right? And let's just say by chance that I'm a slow reader, and it takes 10 minutes. If you're gifted, 3 minutes. But let's just say 10 minutes because, you know, some people read slower. For 10 minutes a day, you could read 3 chapters for 30 days. And if you did that for 2 or 3 or 4 months, you would have a better idea who you are supposed to emulate. Hey, like those apples. You say, well, Jerry, that's easy. I'm going to try not to lose my salvation here. But we're not doing it. How do you know, Pastor? Because I know how you live. Boy, it's really quiet now. You say, well, how do you know that? It's on Facebook. Right? Let me ask you a question, a serious question. Only you know the answer. Now, honestly, as you live your life, I'm not talking about perfection. Look, I'm a sinner saved by grace too. I'm just trying to make a point here. Do you even think about trying to be Jesus wherever you are? Does that ever even cross your mind? That's the problem. It's not. And Jesus gives us, this is not a suggestion, this is a command. This is not if you want to. This is not if you just, for whatever reason, decide to. Jesus is saying, if you are my disciple, you will be like the teacher. I can be with you for 15 minutes, and I will know whether you're like the teacher. And vice versa. Now, I'm not saying that to get anybody mad or upset. I'm trying to make a point. Barna also says that 23% of believers, let's just round it off, one out of four supposed believers never read the Bible. Now, if you played for the Boston Red Sox, this year you probably could have, but if you played for the Boston Red Sox and you batted in the lineup and you never went to batting practice, how do you think you'd do? If you pitched for the Red Sox and you never, ever practiced pitching, how do you think you'd do? Okay, so let me ask you a question. How do you think a born-again believer does that never reads the Bible? It's rhetorical, isn't it? You say, well, Pastor, they're headed for disaster. No, they're already in disaster. It's already disastrous. That's why Jesus said, my disciple, off his own lips, needs to become like the teacher. Why? Because it helps us in a lot of ways, but it helps us to live a godly life. What I did for fun this morning, because I wanted to prove a point, make a point, is I got online this morning on a particular news agency. It could have been ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN, doesn't matter, because they all carry the same headlines. So you have your major headlines, you know, and then down below you have all these sub things. So I just for fun, I kind of wanted to see what people are reading. So I wrote them down. I'm going to make a point in a minute. And as I read these, they're kind of funny in a lot of ways, but this is where our culture is. And not to be critical, I'm doing my best to be a nice guy. But this is where the church is too. Here are some great articles that are on the news just this morning. Bride-to-be slams friend over wedding dress. Ladies, get right on that. You might need to know that. Here's another one. What's the difference between whiskey with an E or whiskey without an E? The last service, I said, I don't know. So somebody after the service came up and told me. So the good point is now I don't have to read the article. I know. Here's another article you can read about. You know the Friends, the TV program? Friends cast. Where are they now? I don't care where they are now. I don't think they care where I'm at right now. Okay? You know, the Emmys were in the Hollywoods, and I'll get all the awards. Inside Emmys after party. Oh, I want to know about that. Is there hope for Meghan Markle? I don't know if there's any hope for her, but I know her husband's got a lot of money. So I think she's good. I think Meghan will be good. You remember the show Family Matters and Urkel? Remember Urkel? Here's one. Here's a great article you might want to catch today. Family Matters star. That's Urkel. Here's the truth. I didn't know the untruth, but apparently I've missed something. Here's the truth. Here's one. Great article. China Loch Ness Monster found. I didn't know China lost the Loch Ness Monster. But apparently they have. Okay? These are real articles. This is what our culture is about. Here's one. I won't give you the star's name. It doesn't matter. Star's son, 6-year-old. Star's son, 6-year-old boy wears dress to school and kids laugh. Here's another article. Model says date. Her date did what to a dog? I may have to check that out of curiosity. Another article. Chris Brown thirsts over Rihanna's pictures. Here's one for you ladies. I know that's sexist, but it is what it is. J-Lo. Who's J-Lo? Yeah, so you know. You don't know about Jesus, but you know J-Lo. That's the problem. Right? Give me an amen. That's right. That's the whole problem. I save all my energy for the third service. All right. So, here you go, ladies. J-Lo stuns in iconic dress. Let me tell you something. J-Lo wouldn't walk across the street to talk to you. Kim and Kanye scolded by the law. That is today's news. God help America. Really. And you're not going to like the next part, but I'm telling you, the problem is we've all been sucked in it too. So what's the point? Here's the point. If you go to one of those articles, which you probably will, and I, you know, every once in a while when I go to the bathroom, I'll read one too. You know, takes about 6 minutes. I'm in the bathroom, right? Right? Okay? Because that's about what that's worth reading is when you're in the bathroom. It takes about 6 minutes to read one of those articles. So while you're at work or you're at lunch break or you're on break or you're just at home and you want to chat. Listen, I'm not against Megan and Kanye. I'm not against all these people. I'm just for Jesus. I'm not, you know, whatever. What I'm saying is while we're wasting our time reading basically junk about people who could care less about us, we could be learning about Jesus. That's 6 minutes. We can read 3 chapters. That's my point. We've got to come to the place as Cross Point Church, every single person. When I get up in the morning, do I care about what J-Lo is wearing and whether Megan is going to fight with the queen and all this foolishness? Or do I get up in the morning and say, I want to be like my teacher. I want to learn about Jesus. I'm going to take 6 minutes a day and read something in the Gospels so I can become a powerhouse for God. But we are so culturalized, it's killing us. Let me tell you something. As your pastor, it's killing our church. It is absolutely killing our church. People care more about that foolishness than they do the house of God. Just being honest with you. That's why I got off Facebook. I hate it. Listen. If you've got time to talk about what you're making for dinner, you've got time to read about Jesus. And that doesn't go over well in this culture, but I'm telling you the stinking truth. That's the truth. You say, you're in a bad mood. I'm in a great mood. Listen, I'm concerned about your soul. I'm concerned about your life. I'm concerned about your family. And I'm telling you, as a senior pastor at Cross Point Church, we're losing our culture. You just heard this guy stand up here and say we're losing the majority of our kids. You want to know why? We're concerned more about J-Lo and Megan than we are Jesus. That's why we're losing them. Well, I don't like that preacher. You know, you're kind of negative. No, I'm truthful. That's the problem. And I'll say this, very few preachers will say what I just said. You want to know why? They're afraid they'll get fired. You know where I'm at in life? Fire me. It's all good. I'm ready to get done. I'm old. It's okay. No problem. I'll go clean for Glenn. Not a problem. Did it through college. Now I can do it after my career. What's the point, Jerry? The point is, until you decide to take 6 minutes of your day to read the Gospels, you'll never emulate somebody that you don't know. How you like those apples? I can't be clearer, and I can't be any simpler. You have to decide for yourself. And you know what kind of bugs you inside? You know everything I've said is true. Our families are falling apart. The devil has taken our kids. And we break our necks to see what J-Lo's wearing. And Satan has got us. He's got us. And the only way we can break that is to allow Jesus to get us. And I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus gets you, it doesn't mean that you won't read that. I read that and laugh. I read those articles and I say, God, help those people to come to Jesus. And I want you to grow in your faith. And Jesus, not me, Jesus says the first step is you need to emulate me. And you need to know who he is. So here's your homework. Here's your challenge. Every service, I've challenged people to do the following. Will you, for the next 30 days, take 6 minutes a day, 2 minutes, a chapter, or maybe whatever. Take 6 to 10 minutes a day, and for the next 30 days, will you read through the Gospels? That's all I'm asking. So I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to dim the lights. It's between you and God. No one's looking around. And if you'd say, God, I need to do that because I really want to follow you. I want to be a disciple like you. I want people to know that I represent Jesus. All I want you to do right now, if you're willing, over the next 30 days, September 22nd to October 22nd, I'm not going to ask, I'm not going to send emails, I'm not going to mention, this between you and God. But if you'd say, Pastor, and this isn't whether you read the Bible or not, I'm just saying, are you willing to take this initial homework test, assignment, to say, I will do it. I will read 3 chapters a day over the next 30 days, and I'll read through the Gospels that show me and tell me who Jesus is. Would you raise your hand? Hold it up. It's between you and the Lord. I can't see very well. I'm blinded by these lights. I feel like I'm being interrogated. It's dark where you are. Just leave your hands up. Just leave them up. I want to pray for you. Father, you see these hands. It's between them and you. And God, I pray that you would help them to keep this commitment. I pray, God, that through the reading of the Gospels, that it might just create a fire that they'd want to do it again and maybe again and maybe again. That's between you and them. Give them the strength. Give them the stick-to-itiveness for the next 30 days to be faithful to their commitment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dan's going to come and close our service. I'll be in the back, but I know no one will want to see me. Pencils down front. If you have questions about God, if you want somebody to pray with you, Mark is on this side with Diane. Carol, why don't you come as well? We have two men, two women on each side. We have two men and two women down front. If you want somebody to pray with you, if you're going through a difficult time, if you have questions about God, about heaven, about how to get there, about the Bible, if you have anything spiritual, then you just come and say, would you pray for me, or could I ask you some questions? Listen, we love you. And my passion is to help you come into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only reason I get up in the morning. You could probably tell I'm a little passionate. But I'm thankful that I'm passionate, because the day I stop being passionate is the day I retire. Because you need somebody up here that's passionate to help you get to where you need to be. And when that day stops, you need to get somebody else. And I'll let you know when that is. I trust you. You can trust me. I'll let you know. And so as Dan closes, for those of you that made that commitment, do it. Do it. And God will bless you. And you'll know more about who you're supposed to emulate when you're done.